بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So we were discussing the so we were discussing the different maratib of the Sahih Ahadith and the different depending on what books and which scholar is narrating the Sahih Ahadith. We've basically mentioned seven different maratibs last week, and then Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that there is a different way of categorizing and organizing the Sahih Hadith, which is different to the one that we have just mentioned, and that's by looking at different perspectives, a different perspective rather than the books itself. So this is what we are going to look at. He says, وَأَمَّا لَوْ رَجَحَ قِسْمٌ عَلَى مَا هُوَ فَوْقَهُ بأمور أخرى تقتضي الترجيح فإنه يقدم على ما فوقه. That as for doing ترجيح of a type that is higher than the one that you have, بأمور أخرى تقتضي الترجيح, because of other factors which require that you privilege this one over the one which is seemingly higher than it, فَإِنَّهُ يُقَدَّمُ عَلَى مَا فَوْقَهُ, that hadith will be given privilege and preponderant over the hadith which is seemingly higher than that. إِذْ قَدْ يَعْرِضُ لِلْمُفَوَّقِ مَا يَجْعَلُهُ فَائِقًا, because the one that is at a lower degree is now faced with something which makes it higher. Okay, so he's saying the same thing. So he's saying sometimes, you know, we've got let's say the hadith in Tirmidhi. Okay, the hadith is in Tirmidhi. Now this hadith in Tirmidhi can sometimes be higher than the hierarchy that we mentioned, than the hadith in Bukhari or Muslim, because of some other factors that we are looking at, and not that general sequence that we mentioned last week. Does that make sense?
I think I'm a bit confused here. Maybe okay. If you could reword it one more time. Sorry about that.
Okay, so let's take an example. Right.
Yeah.
Let's say from the point of view of, let's say, I mean, it's quite simple, really, to understand. So let's say a relationship between a father, a son, and a grandfather. If we were to put a hierarchy on them, hierarchy of preference or hierarchy of obedience or hierarchy of veneration or reverence, then we will basically say that out of these three people, yeah, the grandfather is right at the top, the father is in the middle, and the son is right at, at the bottom of the hierarchy. That's one way of looking at that, and that's the way that everybody will basically look at that. But let's say from the point of view of some other factors that we are are looking at, right? So let's say, for example, a person needs to be represented by a litigator in court. There are these three options. There's the grandfather, the father, and the son, okay, or the grandson. The grandson happens to be a lawyer, a litigator. So in this particular instance, the grandson will have preference over the grandfather and the father.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is something about the grandson in this situation that privileges him over the two people who are normally on top of him.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So here we've got these seven categories. First is Muttafaq Alayh, then is Bukhari, then is Muslim, then is the one Ala Shartihima, then Shartul Bukhari, Shart Muslim, and then number seven, which is, let's say, everything which is other than these six, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, right? We got mm-hmm. hadith on number seven. That, because of some other factors involved,
mm-hmm.
might basically be higher than a hadith of Bukhari or hadith of Muslim because of that particular factor involved. That's
got
what it's
trying to say. Now I understand it. Thank you for the example.
Right, yeah. So let's have a look at the Arabic. Amma law rajaha qismun ala ma huwa fawqahu. As to if someone does tarjih, privileges a qism. Qism here basically means, where is it? These are aqsam.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so let's take number seven. That's a qism. A category. If someone privileges a category over that, above that which is above it, so mm-hmm. number seven is being privileged above one of these. Bi umurin ukhra, because of another factor, taqtadi tarjih, that factor requires privilege that qism over, fa innahu yuqaddamu ala ma fawqahu, in that instance, it will be put forward before ma fawqahu, before the ones that are above it. Is qad ya'ridu, why? Because in this instance, ya'ridu lil mufawwaqi, the one that is at the lower level,
mm-hmm.
is confronted with something, ma yaj'alu fa'iqan, which gives it a status above the ones that mm-hmm. are above it, right? Like this yeah. grandson, who is a lawyer, and he can be a litigator, and therefore, in this instance, he is higher than his father and his grandfather. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, for example, كَمَا لَوْ كَانَ الْحَدِيثُ عِنْدَ مُسْلِمٍ. For example, we have a hadith in Sahih Muslim, مَثَلًا وَهُوَ مَشْهُورٌ. وَهُوَ مَشْهُورٌ is a mashhur hadith. قَاسِرٌ عَنْ دَرَجَةِ التَّوَاتُرِ. However, it does not reach the level of tawatur. لَكِنْ حَفَّتْهُ قَرِينَةٌ صَارَ بِهَا يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمِ. But it has got external qareena, it's muhtaf with qareena, which bumps it from the level of dhanni to the level of al-ilmu al-nazari. فَإِنَّهُ يُقَدَّمُ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ إِذَا كَانَ فَرْضًا مُتْلَقًا. In this instance, this hadith of Muslim will be privileged above the hadith of Bukhari if the hadith of Bukhari is just fard, is just a singular hadith. Okay, so what is happening here? So we have mentioned previously that a mutawatir hadith,
mm-hmm.
I need to find my writing pen. We have mentioned previously that a hadith, something here. It's a hadith. Hadith are two types, right?
Right.
Mutawatir.
Mm-hmm.
And ahad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mutawatir are what we called ilm al yaqini.
Mm-hmm.
They give yaqini knowledge, but the ahad gives zanni knowledge. Right? Mm-hmm. We established that. But we basically said sometimes the ahad, right, is sometimes, so we just put a line here, sometimes the ahad gives yaqini knowledge, ilm al-yaqini, but it's delayed, so it's nadhari.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that discussion?
Yes.
And that is when it's muhtaf bil-qara'in.
Right.
Muhtaf bil qara'in basically means that there are other factors which are making it bump up to the level of the mutawatir. For example, let's look at I see it's probably here. So we just recap. So the muhtaf bil qara'in are yakhtassu bis sahihain. The hadith are found in only in sahihain or muttafaq alay, or the hadith which has got many turuqs, and all of those turuqs are it's the Hassan hadith. The Hassan hadith which has got many turuqs, but all of the turuqs, there's no problems with those turuqs, or bima rawahu al-a'imma, or in the isnad we have that all of the ulama, they are a'imma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we have a hadith which is in Muslim, okay? So we have a hadith in, let's go back. We have a hadith in Muslim. So the most of the hadiths in Bukhari will be a dhanni. Right, the muttafaq alay hadith will be what we call muhtaf bil qara'in. But if we have a hadith in Muslim which has got many turuqs, kathratut turuq,
mm-hmm,
and all of those turuq have no problems with them, so that will basically bump it to the level of ilmul yaqini. In this case, what happens is the Muslim hadith is higher than the Bukhari hadith because epistemologically it has got more certainty in it. This is what it's saying.
Got it. Yeah?
فإنه يقدم على الحديث الذي يخرج البخاري إذا كان فرضا مطلقا وكما لو كان الحديث. And the second example is وكما لو كان الحديث الذي لم يخرجاه من ترجمة وصفت بكونها أصح الأسانيد. And similarly, if there is a hadith which the Bukhari and Muslim did not include in their books, but this hadith has got people, Tarjama here means people, wusifat bikawniha asahul asanid, that they have been declared to be the most authentic isnad. Kamalik an Nafi an Ibn Umar, fa innahu yuqaddamu ala man farada bihi ahaduhuma. Then this hadith with this isnad will be given privilege over individual hadiths, man farada bi ahaduhuma, where only one of them is narrating. So for example, let's say we have a hadith in Tirmidhi, and the hadith in Tirmidhi is, it says Malik an Nafi' an Ibn Umar, which is known as the golden chain. Yeah? And then we have a hadith in Bukhari, which is similar hadith, but it doesn't have that golden chain. Okay, it has a sahih chain, but it's less than the golden chain. That hadith of Tirmizi will be privileged over the hadith of Bukhari if there was a contradiction between them, because the hadith of Tirmizi has got an extra feature in it, in that hadith, which gives it a privilege over the riwayat of Bukhari, which doesn't have that feature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. وكما لو كان الحديث الذي لم يخرجه من ترجمة وصفت بكون أصح الأسانيد كمالك عن نافع عن ابن عمر فإنه يقدم على من فرض به أحدهما مثلا لا سيما إذا كان في إسناده من فيه مقال. For example, definitely more so if the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim is one of those where they have been criticized, and this isnad is in Tirmidhi, is Silsilatu Dhahab, it is a golden chain, then the Tirmidhi hadith, that particular hadith of Tirmidhi, will be privileged over the hadith of Bukhari. So the upshot of all of this is, when it comes to giving a generic hukum on the status of hadith, we can say that the muttafaq alay is right at the top, then Sahih al-Bukhari comes next, then Sahih Muslim comes next, and then those are hadith which are on the shirt of Bukhari and Muslim, then those which are on the shirt of Bukhari, then those which are on the shirt of Muslim, and then everything else comes after that. We are talking about books here. But then when we talk about individual hadith, so as a category, this Got is it. How we categorize it. But then when we go into individual books, yeah, then when we go into individual books, then we can basically say that then we need to look at the individual hadith, and the status of the individual hadith will tell us what its rank is. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, well, if I can ask a question here. You know, one of the things from the beginning of the course that we've learned is, you know, there's the two different classifications, and one is more of a ilm al-kalam classification of, you know, mutawatir, mashhur, aziz, and then the other is more of the ilm al-hadith classification. So obviously in like Bukhari and Muslim, you're going to have different types of hadith. You know, maybe some will be mutawatir, you know, maybe some will be aziz, you know, maybe some will be gharib. One of the categories in terms of muhtaf bil qara'in that we saw, that there's many paths. So does that saying, like, for example, if you have a hadith in Sahih Muslim or in Tirmidhi, which is like aziz or mashhur, like what is many paths, I guess, mean?
Yeah,
is it
mashhur?
So if anything is mashhur in any of those books, then it automatically, you know, gets bumped up in the category. No.
Okay. No. So there's two things. One is automatically getting bumped up, and the other one is getting bumped up to the level of ilmul yaqini. The muhtaf bil qara'in is not only that it has got many turuq, but those turuq have to also be free from defects.
Right. I remember that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So if it's many turuq and it's free from defects, and it's, for example, in Tirmidhi, And the hadith in Muslim is not like that, then the Tirmidhi one would be bumped up in the seven categories that we looked at. Got it.
But in reality, here's the catch. In reality, when we do isnad analysis, we actually don't talk like that. We don't say, oh, this hadith is in Bukhari and this hadith in Tirmizi. Bukhari is heavier, more heavier weight than... You use that as secondary evidence, but every single hadith has to be looked at on its individual merit. What is actually happening in the usul, the ulumul hadith, is basically systematically they're trying to categorize everything. But in reality, what happens is nobody does isnad analysis like that. The isnad analysis and the hukum of hadith is that each individual hadith is basically looked at for its own merit, and then it's judged. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So now we finished the discussion of sahih. We've come on to the discussion of hasan. فَإِنْ خَفَّ الضَّبْطُ أَيْ قَلَّ يُقَالُ خَفَّ الْقَوْمُ خُفُوفًا. If the ضَبْط, فَإِنْ خَفَّ الضَّبْطُ, if the ضَبْط is lower, so ضَبْط is the academic ability, if the dhabt of a... So remember, we are mapping this against the conditions of sahih. Sahih is adalat al-rawi, dhabt al-rawi. So it's saying from those five conditions, if the dhabt of rawi is qalla, it's lower. By lower, it doesn't mean that it's da'if or it's fabricated or it's bad. It just falls short, slightly lower. يُقَالُ خَفَّ الْقَوْمُ خُفُوفًا قَلُّ, i.e. It goes down. وَالْمُرَادُ مَعَ بَقِيَةِ الشُّرُوطَ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةِ فِي حَدِّ السَّحِيحِ. And what is meant by خَفَّ الضَّبْط is that the remaining four conditions that have been mentioned from the definition of sahih still remain intact, but it's just that the ضَبْط of the rawi is slightly lower than that of the sahih hadith. فَهُوَ الْحَسَنُ لِذَاتِهِ. That hadith is called Hasan Lidhatihi. So now we come to what is a Hasan, Hadith Hasan? Hadith Hasan is when you have a Hasan Lidhatihi, intrinsically Hasan. A Hadith Hasan is when you have a hadith where all of the conditions of Sahih is found in that hadith, other than basically the dhabt, the academic ability of the scholar, it just falls short of the sahih, then this is called hasan lidhatihi. La li shay'in kharijin. So the hasan lidhati basically means that it's good in and of itself and not because of any external factors, because we'll see later on there will be hadith which are hasan, but the hasan is not because of internal factors but external factors. And what is kharij? Kharij stuff, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ حُسْنُهُ بِسَبَبِ الْإِعْتِضَادِ. What are external factors that can make a hadith sahih? Is that where the hasan is because of fortifications from outside. For example, نَحْوُ حَدِيثُ الْمَسْتُورِ, such as the hadith of the mastur person. إِذَا تَعَدَّدَتْ تُرُقُهُ, when it has many different turuq. Okay, so what is a mastur? A mastur is a person whose identity is the mastur is a person who two people or more have narrated from that person, but they haven't given a character reference. So two people or more have narrated from that person, but they didn't say whether he's sahih or whether he's da'if. They suspended judgment. That is a mastur. So normally mastur comes in the level of a weak hadith, but if there are so many isnads for that one hadith of the mastur, okay, so if we were to let's say this is a hadith, Prophet Sahaba Tabi'i, and then we say this is a person who is a mastur. Yeah. One, to people narrating from him, right? This whole isnad will be weak because of this mustur, right? Because although two people have narrated from him, it's not enough because they haven't really told us like what type of person this person is. However, if we find that this mustur, so many people are narrating from him, right? But still the person is mustur because people have not actually come out and said, well, he's a thiqa rawi or he's a weak rawi. They just narrate from him, but they don't give anything, any judgment on him. Then this hadith gets bumped up, although it's weak, it gets bumped up to the level of Hassan, but it's not Hassan li dhatihi. There isn't anything intrinsically Hassan about it. It's Hassan because of these secondary evidences. And the kind of subtext to all of this is that if there was something seriously wrong with this person, then why would so many people narrate from him? Does that make sense? So even though we don't have any verbal vindication of him, but the fact that so many people are narrating from him must mean that there has to be something about him. So we bump it up to the level of Hasan li ghayrihi. Okay, so Imam Ibn Hajar is making a contrast here, and he's saying that he's still discussing Hasan li dhati. He's not discussing Hasan li ghayrihi. He just basically mentioned what i'tidad is. So Hasan li dhatihi is something which is intrinsically Hasan, and that is when the five conditions, four out of the five conditions of Sahih is met, but the dhabt is slightly lower. Okay, that is Hasan li dhatihi. And we don't call this Hasan, and not because of some external factors. And then he just went on to explain what those external factors are and then given us an example of the mastur. وَخَرَجَ بِإِشْتِرَاقِ بَاقِ الْأَوْصَافِ الضَّعِيفِ. And by mentioning, by stipulating the conditions of all the other four conditions of a sahih, the da'if is being excluded. Yeah, the da'if is being excluded. So when Imam Ibn Hajar says that the Hasan hadith is adalatu rawi, ittisalu sanad, adamu shuzuz, adamu al-illa, and khaffa al-dabt, by mentioning the four, he is excluding the da'if. Because if any other of those conditions fall short of the sahih, then the hadith will become da'if. Does that make sense? So this in mantik is what we call qaid ihtiradi. By kharaja, by mentioning the other four conditions, he's basically taking the da'if out of the picture. وَهَذَا الْقِسْمُ مِنَ الْحَسَنِ. And this qism of hasan, which qism? حسن لذاته مشارك للصحيح في الاحتجاج به. It accompanies the sahih from the point of view of using it as evidence, وإن كان دونه, even though in status it might be lower than a sahih hadith, but when it comes to providing evidence, then the sahih and the hasan hadith are equally valid sources of evidence. وَمُشَابِهٌ لَهُ فِي إِنْقِسَامِهِ إِلَى مَرَاتِبَ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. And it is also similar to the sahih in dividing it according to categories. Some are higher than others. So for example, the way that we said that the muttafaq alayhi hadith is higher than the Bukhari hadith, and the Bukhari hadith is higher than the Muslim hadith, and the Muslim hadith is higher than the shart ala, you know, and the six qisms that we mentioned, we can do that same with the Hasan. So the Hasan hadith where Bukhari and Muslim are muttafaq on is higher than the Hasan hadith where Bukhari is only munfarid on, which is higher than the Muslim Hasan hadith which only Muslim is munfarid on, which is higher than the Hassan Hadith, which is on the shirt of both of them. Does that make sense?
So I thought the Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim are only Sahih. Are there Hassan Lidhatihi Hadith in
yes.
there?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, there are Hassan Lidhatihi Hadith as well. Okay, but the Hassan Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim will be secondary. They will not be... So Bukhari and Muslim are proving certain things in their books. Bukhari and Muslim are not innocuous books of Hadith collections. Imam Bukhari in his book is not only collecting a Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu, a book on the Hadith of the Prophet Sallam, but he's... But he's responding to the fitnas of his time. Yeah, he's responding to the fitnas of his time, and you can see that in his chapter headings. So he's providing evidences for what he believes to be the correct opinion. Mm-hmm. And his evidences are of two levels. One is primary evidence, which is the one that he uses to open the argument. And then there are secondary evidences. It's the secondary evidences that Al-Bukhari can use Hassan Ahadith. He never will use a for a primary evidence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, a quick question. The وَهَذَا الْقِسْمُ مِنَ الْحَسَنِ مُشَارَكٌ لِلصَّحِيفِ الْإِحْتِجَاجِ بِهِ if I've understood correctly, is that to do with using it as evidence?
Yeah.
So it's essentially the same. So he and Hassan, in terms of using it as evidence, you know, it's...
So what it doesn't mean that the Hassan and Sahih Hadith are exactly at the same level of the strength of the evidence. Obviously, if you have a Sahih Hadith,
yeah,
and a Hassan Hadith which is contradicting that Sahih Hadith, the Sahih Hadith will be privileged. What it basically means, al-ihtijaj bihi musharikun fil ihtijaj bihi, means that both of them can be presented as evidences.
Yeah. So if there was like a Sahih Hadith without any objection or anything like that, you would follow it. And then in the same way, if there was a Hassan Hadith without any objection, without any kind of like competing evidence, you would follow it.
You will follow it, and you won't basically say, well, this is Hassan Hadith.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what he's saying. So it's not that there's a competition between them. It's just that both of them can be submitted as evidence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Now, here is the interesting thing. Majority of the Islamic law, is based on Hassan Hadith.
Interesting.
Majority of the Islamic law is based on Hassan Hadith. And this is not me saying this. This is Imam, what's his name, Ibn Salah and others. They say this. Let's see if I can find the exact text. Right. There we go. This is from the Muqaddama of from the Muqaddimah of Ibn Salah, Al-Hasan ma urifa makhrajuhu wa ishtahara rijaluhu. Hasan is the one that we know the where it emanates from, and most of his scholars, most of the ulama, the rawis are mashhur. Qala wa alayhi madaru akthar al-hadith. Most of the ahadith are, or most of the pivots of the hadith are Hassan. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُهُ أَكْثَرُ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَيَسْتَعْمِلُهُ عَامَّةُ الْفُقَهَا. Right, this is the one that most ulama accept and or the fuqaha used. Another place, he mentions that it is the مَظَانُّ الْفِقْ. That's another set. So most of the ahadith of Islamic law is derived from the Hassan ahadith and not the Sahih hadith. Certainly, most of Islamic law is not derived from Bukhari. Imam Bukhari's conditions are too strict that it will, if we were to go with his methodology, we will have to get rid of a lot of our fiqh books. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's look at an example of Hassan Hadith. Right, so we've got Hadith Hassan. So this is from Nuruddin Itr's book, Manhaj al-Naqd. So he says, مَا رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَ بْنَ سَعِيدٍ عَنْ بَهْزِ بْنِ حَكِيمٍ قال حدثني أبي عن جدي قال قلت يا رسول الله من أبر قال أمك قال قلت ثم من قال أمك ثم قال قلت من قال أمك ثم أباك ثم الأقرب فالأقرب. So Nuruddin Itr says فهذا الحديث سنده متصل. Right, Yahya ibn Sa'id narrates from Bahz ibn Hakim, who narrates from his father Hakim, from his grandfather, I think, who's a Sahabi. He's a Sahabi. It's the sanad is muttasil, right? First condition. La shudud fihi. There is no shuzuz in there. Wala illa taqadihan, and there is no illa. حيث لم يقع في هذه السلسلة أي اختلاف بين الرواة ولا في المتن. There is no اختلاف between the rawis and in the matan. Imam Ahmad is narrating this hadith. So والإمام أحمد وشيخه يحيى بن سعيد. So it's يحيى بن سعيد القطان وهو هما إمامان جليلان. وبهز بن حكيم من أهل الصدق والصيانة. حتى وثقه علي بن المديني ويحيى بن معين والنسائي وغيره. So the problem in this isnad, which is bringing it down, it's not Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, it's Bahz ibn Hakim. Although Yahya ibn Ma'in al-Nasa'i have done tawthiq of him, لكن استشكل العلماء بعض مروياته حتى تكلم فيه شعبة بن الحجاج بسبب ذلك وهذا لا يسلبه صفة الضبط لكنه يشعر بأنه خف ضبطه. But the ulama have criticized some of his narrations, especially شعبة بن الحجاج, and that does not take away his academic credibility from him. However, it reduces it ever so slightly. ووالده حكيم وثقه العجلي وابن حبان وقال النسائي ليس به بأس فيكون حديث بحث هذا حسنا لذاته كما حكم العلماء بل هو من أعلى مراتب الحسن. So it's from the highest level of the Hassan, and it's because of Bahz ibn Hakim his standards have gone is slightly lower. So you can see here, he says, وَمِنْ هَذَا تَبَيَّنَا أَنَّ ثِمَةً تَشَابُهًا كَثِيرًا بَيْنَ الْحَسَنِ وَالصَّحِيحِ حَتَّى إِنَّ طَائِفَةً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ جَعَلَتِ الْحَسَنِ مُنْدَرِجًا فِي الصَّحِيحِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلُهُ نَوْعًا مُنْفَرِدًا وَهُوَ الظَّاهِرِ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْحَكِيمِ أَبِي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ النَّيْسَابُورِ فِي التَّصَرُّفِ. So you can see here that there's a very much similarity between Hassan and Sahih. to the extent that some of the Ahlul Hadith have included Hassan within the Sahih and did not make the Hassan into a category on its own. And this is what we can find in the Mustadrak of Imam Abu Abdullah and Nisapuri. And the reason why that is because, you know, when you have these, when you are dealing with nuances, so it's like basically saying, Umar, how long is a string? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When do you start? So you have a string, right? So when would you decide that this string is short and it's not long? And what will be the tipping point where you decide, okay, now this string is, you know, long? That's a subjective thing, isn't it? It's a qualitative thing,
right.
A quantitative measure. So that's what they're saying is that, remember in the beginning, the ulama only had two categories. They had sahih and they had da'if. But then they realized that, do you know what? Actually, this is too much of a binary, and we need to have like, gradations, and there's gray areas. So they interjected, right? Now, they interjected another category, yeah, which is called Hassan. But even then, you know, there isn't a clear demarcation between them, right? So you have Sahih here, right? You have Da'if here. And then you have Hassan here. And the problem with Hassan is that because you are trying to make the nuances, it overlaps between those two. Yeah?
Mm.
This is why later ulama, like Imam, so the first person to do that is Imam Ibn Salah, they made further categorizations. So what they basically did is they said, Sahih li dhatihi, they came up with Sahih li ghayrihi. Then they came up with Hasan li dhatihi. And then li dhatihi. Okay. And then Hasan li ghayrihi. And then da'if. So if we were to attribute them, then this is where these things are going to be. Sahih li ghayrihi is here in this area, which is a liminal space between the sahih and the hasan. Hasan li zatihi is here. Hasan li ghayrihi will be here in this liminal space, and that will be da'if. Does that make sense? So because there is this overlap, right? Earlier scholars, they only had sahih da'if, but they thought later on scholars thought this is too rigid. We need to bring the category of Hasan. They brought in the category of Hasan, but then Hasan basically shares both ends with both of the sahih and Hasan da'if. So later on, especially people like Imam Ibn Salah is the first to do that. He basically then further categorized them into Sahih li ghayrihi and Hasan li ghayrihi. And do you know what? You can do that ad infinitum. You can carry on categorizing them ad infinitum, but obviously you need to stop. So nobody has categorized them further. So we are left with these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories. And then within these categories, we know that there are maratibs, right? We looked at the maratib, the Muttafaq Alayhi and the Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Ala Shartihima, Ala Shartil Bukhari, Ala Sharti Muslim, Ala Dunihima. There's maratib. So if we were to put all of them, then we'll have major, major categories. But the scholarship has led to 5 main categorizations. And these are not wahi, these are just basically systemic categorizations. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The problem here is that not everyone follows those categorizations. So for example, when somebody is saying hadith is hasan, or when somebody is saying this hadith is hasan, another hasan, let's say hasan, and by hasan they mean hasan li ghayrihi, they didn't talk that somebody else will say that it's da'if. When somebody says that hadith is sahih and another person is calling it hasan, because this hadith might be sahih li ghayrihi. The person who's calling it sahih means sahih li ghayrihi. The person basically is calling it hasan knows that it's from the hasan. So people are not consistent in their usage of terminology, and that's why we have a problem. So we first of all, we have a problem because people do not come to the same conclusion as to whether a hadith is sahih or hasan because of their interpretations of that. Right, that's one thing. But the second thing is that people are also not consistent in using those categories. So somebody might call the hadith hasan, this one hasan because it is hasan, but somebody might be more nuanced and call it sahih li ghayrihi. So we need to keep up all of these things in our mind. So you had a question, or
I mean, not with that, but more of a, it's maybe a somewhat long-winded, but like the comment you made that most of the our ahkam, etc., to do with law and fiqh comes from hasan hadith. Is that not, could it be argued that that's potentially a knock on it? The fact that these hadiths are used for our rulings, and rulings which are used in daily life, etc., etc., why is it that only hasan hadiths, or majority of these
not,
are
provided? Majority.
If it was so very authentic, then wouldn't you have more sahih hadith providing that?
I think the rigorous standard that the ulama have applied in preserving the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will then go on to exclude a lot of the fiqh. That's point number one, if we were to follow those rigorous standards. That's point number one. Point number two is that the fiqh is done by fuqaha. Some of these fuqaha are also simultaneously muhaddithun, and therefore they are using a different methodology to use those ahadith. If those ahadith, so according to their methodology, those ahadith might be sahih. But if you bring those ahadith into and put them to the test against the ulumul hadith, then they will basically be hasan. So not necessarily, so from the point of view of ulumul hadith, they're hasan, but not from the point of view of the people who are using it. For example, the Hanafis might have their own usul, and according to them, for example, the case of Mursal, according to ulumul hadith is da'if, but according to the Hanafis, according to their usul, it is sahih. Does that make sense?
I
mean, even within the ulum al hadith itself, depending on what era that you are looking at, a hadith which has got tadlis in it, a mudallis in it, in the earlier generation the tadlis was tolerated, in the later generation the tadlis wasn't tolerated. So for example, Abu Zubair an Jabir, 158 riwayats in Sahih Muslim, Abu Zubair an Jabir. Abu Zubair al-Makki, he was a mudallis, and he narrates from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu with an'ana, and the an'ana of the muhaddith is to be rejected, and yet this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, which basically means that the ulama in the earlier stage, they had a different opinion towards the tadlis, and also which is different from the opinions of the later scholars. And Sheikh Al-Albani declares those ahadith weak because he is using a later definition of tadlis to look into Sahih Muslim. So there's quite a lot of these. So that's why ulumul hadith and isnad analysis is basically difficult. The reason why it's difficult is because too many layers have been added to it that it becomes kind of difficult to really know what is the maghz and what is not. And this is why you have a movement now, starting with Sheikh Hamza Abdullah Mallibari, Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni, Sheikh Abdullah Judain, and everyone who are trying to kind of get rid of all of the later accretions and go back to the original, Manhaj al-Mutaqaddimin fi ulum al-Hadith. And they're actively trying to do that. So, I mean, these layers create more confusion. It's supposed to be like kind of categorization, systematic categorization, but they've just added complexity to something which didn't need to be complicated. Here, we kind of use Occam's razor, that the simplest explanation is most likely the correct explanation, right? Rather than going into complicated, systematic and systemic explanations. And one of the reasons why is because they were actually dealing with theory as well. And, you know, when you're dealing with theory is all about categorization, and classification. So they started kind of finding all of those classifications. Imam Ibn Salah, in his Muqaddimah, he talks about the 65 anwar of hadith, and then he basically says we can carry on dividing them ad infinitum, but we need to stop somewhere. But even those 65 that he mentions, a lot of them are actually not really categories. They are more names of books of Khatib al-Baghdadi, that he just called it a category. Does that make sense? And you will see examples of that later on.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So it was more about the legal scholars. They took a more practical approach, and then because of that, it might not meet the standards of the hadith scholars.
Yeah, and for example, the practical scholars, the fiqh scholars, they have something which is called inqita' batin and ittisal batin, which the scholars of hadith don't talk about. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, just on that last question, when you mentioned these that movement, are they going back to pre like sahili zatihi sahili ghairihi?
Yeah, I mean there is a saying in a very famous and controversial statement in the Muqaddimah of Ibn Salah, where Ibn Salah basically says, after Bukhari and Muslim, there is no one who has got the capacity to do isnad analysis. And obviously, ulama have kind of, written refutation. I mean, every single alim who came afterwards refuted that, because it was kind of an insult to them. But there is an element of truth in that, this is what these guys are trying to go back to, the Asr al-Tadwin. They're going back to the Asr al-Tadwin, Bukhari and Muslim's age, and seeing how things were then. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's fascinating stuff, which is something that I've just become quite interested in reading quite around. And I have a PhD student who's doing a PhD on the Imam Saraghsi's Usulul Hadith in his Mabsut. So let's see how that pans out. Okay. So then we go on to... وَبِكَثْرَةِ طُرُقِهِ يُصَحَّحُ. So, طُرُقِهِ وَبِكَثْرَةِ طُرُقِ الْحَسَنِ يُصَحَّحُ. If the Hassan Hadith has got many turuqs, many isnads, then it becomes sahih. However, it does not become sahih لِذَاتِهِ, it becomes sahih لِغَيْرِهِ. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But see, here we mentioned this. So Umar, you might say, then does that make it muhtaf bil qara'in? Right? No, it doesn't. Muhtaf bil qara'in is something else. Muhtaf bil qara'in is to do with the epistemological status. Okay? The epistemological status is that if a hadith is muhtaf bil qara'in, then it gets bumped up from the level of hasan to the, bumped up from the level of dhanni to yaqini. Here we're talking about something different, which is to get bumped up from the level of Hassan to the level of Sahih. In order, so one of the ways of that happens is when a Hassan Hadith got so many turuqs, that it gets bumped up to the level of sahih. However, the muhtaqbil qara'in is that when a sahih hadith has got so many turuqs and every single turuq are free from blemishes, then it gets to the bumped up to the level of ilmul yaqini. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But it's a different thing.
Right. Yeah?
The ilmul yaqini, dhanni, these are epistemological debates, quantitative debates. Here we're looking at more qualitative stuff.
Got it.
وَبِكَثْرَةِ تُرُكِ. So let's look at a hadith which is صحيح لغيره. If I can find it. Let's see if I can find it. No? So Nuruddin Atar, he basically uses this same hadith. See, let's go here. No, he uses this same hadith of Bahz ibn Hakim, but he brings different turqs for it and says that this hadith of Bahz ibn Hakim is sahih li ghayrihi because of the different turqs. So that's all that he shows. Yeah. وإنما نحكم له بالصحة عند تعدد الطرق لأن للصورة المجموعة قوة. And we call it sahih. We give hukum of sahih onto this hadith when there is many isnads. Why? لأن للصورة المجموعة قوة. Because the collective picture with all of the isnads provides a قوة قوة. It provides a quwwa, a fortification. تجبر القدر الذي قصر به ضبط راوي الحسن عن راوي الصحيح. It compensates that much. قدر الذي قصر به. That much of shortcomings that the Hassan Rawi has over the Rawi of a Sahih Hadith, basically saying that the shortcoming in Bahz ibn Hakim, who's got some problems and he falls from the level of Sahih to the level of Hassan, the kasrat al-turuq, right? The kasrat al-turuq bumps it up to the level of the Sahih, and the and that shortcoming is compensated for. Imagine, right? Imagine somebody is quite short, and he's trying to climb a wall, yeah, and he's scrounging on his own, and he's falling back, and he's trying to go to the top of the wall, right? He can't do that, but then 10 of his friends, they come. And they give him a piggyback and they throw him up onto the wall. Yeah? Right. So the problem that he had within himself, meaning that he didn't meet the height of the people who could have climbed the wall, he falls short of that, right? But the fact that he's got 10 friends who are piggybacking and throwing him up onto the wall, that compensates for that shortcoming that he has. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So in the same way, the fact that he falls below the level of the Sahih Hadith, therefore is Hassan, these isnads are piggybacking him and bumping it up to the level of Sahih, but we can never call it Sahih li zatihi because it's not intrinsically Sahih. It's Sahih li ghayrihi. It's in this liminal space that we have here. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. How much is Kathrut al-Turuq here? Like, are we talking, if it was like two turuq, if it was like Aziz?
No, so it has to be more than three. It has to be more than 10, because Ibn Hajar actually has spoken about this. He says turuq is the plural of tariqah, and it's jam'u kathra, and jam'u kathra means that it has to be more than 10. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of turuq.
Because, you know, you think about it, Sheikh, if you have Aziz Hassan Hadith, for example, I'm just thinking theoretically. And so you have two completely separate isnads, and they're Hassan because there's slight issue with the accuracy or the dhabt or the cognitive, the ability to recall it or what have you. When you have two totally different ones, you feel at least, you know, for example, like in everyday life, if somebody comes to you with a report and it's like two different chains, and then maybe they're not, you know, the most accurate in terms of memory, even two, you feel pretty confident. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, I, for example, if there was like two different chains, for example, and there was, you know, just a little bit on the memory thing, I would be very sure, like, you know, that this was accurate. But I guess it still doesn't get to sahih al-ghayri. You have to have even more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bar is higher.
The bar is higher. Yeah. They have very rigorous criteria. You know, when you look at when we learn about this, it's fascinating.
Yep. ومن ثم تطلق الصحة على الإسناد الذي يكون حسن لذاته. Because of this, or from this point of view, the word صحيح is applied on the على الإسناد الذي يكون on the إسناد, or here إسناد means حديث, that is حسن لذاته. So it's a لو تفرد that had it been, yeah, had that isnad been singular, then it would have been hasan li dhatihi. But this word siha is applied on that isnad idha ta'addada, when it has many numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the hasan li dhati, if the hadith was singular on its own, there's no other isnad, it would have been hasan li dhatihi. The hasan li dhati hadith, when it has many different turuq, idha ta'addada, it becomes we apply the word sahih, but sahih li ghayrihi. وَهَذَا حَيْثُ يَنْفَرِدُ الْوَصْفِ. And this is from the point of view when the wasf, the attribution or the qualification is singular. Okay, it's singular. What if, فَإِنْ جُمِعَ, what if the qualification is compounded? أي الصحيح والحسن في وصف واحد. Like, for example, the صحيح and حسن are in one, together in one sentence, in one qualification, such as Imam al-Tirmizi saying حديثٌ حسنٌ صحيح. This is a subject which I know quite a lot about because I wrote a PhD thesis on this particular topic. Inshallah, we will broach this subject next week. Are there any questions?
It's more just for clarification. When you say lots of turuq, is it on like on his level? So from that rawi, if you imagine he's a tabi'i, on that level, there's another like 10 more.
Yeah.
As opposed to 10 coming from him.
Sorry, say that again.
As opposed to 10 coming from him, like downwards, like not 10 people narrating from him. Does that count as the lots of turuq, or is it 10 on his level?
No, so it will be 10 coming from him.
From him?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not necessarily. The reason why is because even if those isnads by, so if it's on his level, basically they're his classmates.
Yeah. Okay?
So they all go back to the same teacher or teachers on the above level. It still won't matter. The reason why is because it'll still vindicate him. The fact that so many people are narrating this hadith.
So that would look better. But even if there was just 10 narrating from him, like his students, that would be okay.
Yeah.
That would bump it up to Sahih al-Dhati.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that okay? Inshallah, I'll meet you all next week. Okay.
Inshallah.
Take care. As-salamu alaykum.